Now, Joseph and I talked for the first time on the phone last night as he was driving here. And I've listened to his CDs. He didn't bring anything, but you know what? You got a website? Okay. You got to give that to him so that they can order your material, because you're going to want to get his material and stuff. They're leaving to go to Germany to speak over there. And so he'll be here this morning, and then I believe this guy's going to be coming back, okay? I'm already telling you that because I've already heard him. I listened to him time and time again. But I'm telling you, God's got something for you. Evangelist Joseph Morris, would you welcome him this morning?
Thank you. Appreciate you coming to hear the word. Man, I like your church. There's such a hunger in this place. It's so fun to come and be around people that are hungry for Jesus. Wow. Because that's what we've come for every service. We've gathered around to magnify him, to honor him. He said if he'd be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. I like that every song we sing, everything we do is to lift him up and to magnify him. Praise the Lord. What a treat to be here. I like that your pastor is bold enough to listen to some CDs and have me come. And Colleen and I are so blessed to be here. Just as he said, last week we were in Greensboro, North Carolina. And the week before that, we were in Sterling, Illinois. We were probably just a little ways from you here. And week before that, where were we? Temecula, California. And we were in a different church every week, but we're thrilled to be with you. What a treat. You guys are full. Isn't this cool that you need a bigger building? Isn't that awesome? I know one of the times we'll come, we'll see your helicopter pad, the runway, and the whole deal. Just see it all set up, because this is so neat to see that many people hungry for Jesus. So you can feel that in this room, so it's just a blessing. As Colleen and I travel, like you said, we go to Germany. We teach in a Bible school there this next week. And then we come back and go straight to, actually, we go to Cold Lake, Alberta right after that. But what's weird is, you know, we go overseas quite a bit. And what's so cool is every one of the nations that we go to is crazy Americans are there. You preach in Italy, it's a crazy American. You preach in the Philippines, crazy American. Colleen lived in Bangkok for a while. Guess who was there? Americans, right? And what's so cool is America has sown into all the world, and we'll reap right here in our nation. You can't sow, God will not be mocked. You can't sow, we'll reap. So it's just a great time. God has raised all of you up to literally be full of the Word, full of the Spirit, in position to do His will. Probably think of where you were 10 years ago. God's orchestrated your life so you'd be in this wild church. So that we can find out who we are in Christ, find out what He did for us, so that He can utilize us. And Colleen and I will give you a little bit of an idea of what we kind of preach on. We normally have all of our stuff with us, and we're redoing all of our stuff. We have a full spread of stuff. We preach on end times a lot. We mainly preach on how to get the power of God through you, not just to you. I'll back up a little bit and say that. It's really about a vessel mentality. It's about an unselfish thought pattern. It's about all the messages you've heard. You not only just find out who you are in Christ, you get a thought pattern of how to be a blessing. Literally, it's about a harvesting season. So God wants to use you. He wants you to walk just like Jesus walked. And I know that you can just feel the feeling in this church. We all know who we are in Christ. Greater is He that's in you. He's in this world. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. We know that. We've been taught that. Well, God wants to utilize you and all those messages you've heard to get us to be literally demonstrators of the resurrection. Thank you for those two amens. Praise the Lord. So anyway, good night, everybody. Drive safely. Praise the Lord. Start the car. I'll be right there. No, you know, a lot of people you work with, they'll never come to church, so you've got to pretty much take Jesus to them. So the whole thought pattern is let all the messages you've heard literally demonstrate the resurrection in your life so people can see the liberty, the power, the grace of Jesus everywhere you go. Obviously, we want to get them in church, but a lot of them won't come, so you've got to take Jesus to them, and then they'll come and get fed. Praise the Lord. So I want to land on something today. You know, most of the times when we come, I'm just glad to get to be here this one service, and we'll head back and go to Germany, but He wants to intensify things in us that make it easy. I want to land on something today that makes it easy for the power of God to flow through you. You know, it's not complicated. It's not hard. He'll give us some things in the scriptures that make it, if I can say it this way, idiot-proof, to where you can walk out of church and all of a sudden the power of God's flowing through you. That's what we want. Because He said, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. Really, He said, if you're believing on Him, He said, if you believe on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of your belly would flow, not maybe, would flow rivers of living water. So I want to land on something that the early church dwelt upon that caused the power of God to flow in their lives. Because we are living, this is the deal, this is it. Every nation you go to, I preached on Iranian TV a few months ago in English with a translator into Farsi. And the guy that runs the TV studio, he's in a little Iranian. I play golf with him. He's about this tall, so I have him stand by me. I go, here, stand by me, so I'll feel normal, praise the Lord. And he said in Iran, there was this drug dealer there that had been getting all the drugs to all the nation, basically kind of the number one guy that was getting the drugs to the nation. He'd been crying out to Allah to save him and literally to deliver him from drugs because he couldn't even function. He was so messed up. And here, the next thing you know, Jesus appears to him. He gets born again, saved, instantly delivered from drugs, goes back to the people that he's selling drugs to. He says, you know what? I got something better than drugs. I got Jesus. And what's so wild, that's in the middle of Iran. Another friend of mine, we were preaching in Singapore. They run this Bible school there. They said Jesus is appearing to people out in the middle of Malaysia, Jakarta, even places that preachers can't get to. Jesus is appearing to them. Every nation, every tongue, every kindred is hearing of his glory right now. This is the deal. Jesus is coming alarmingly soon.
Yes.
I'll give you a couple of thought patterns to think of before we get into the word. Jesus said, the generation that sees Israel restored as a nation, that happened in 48. Jerusalem won back, happened in 67. Jesus said the generation that sees those two things will not pass away till all is fulfilled. So whether we like it or not, or whether we're comfortable with it, guess what? He's coming back in our lifetime. See, it gets quiet when you say that. I think I'll say it again. you don't want to be too bold about that. I didn't say that. I'm quoting Jesus. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jesus. If you don't like that, get mad at him. Luke 21, he said, the group of people that see Israel restored as a nation and see Jerusalem won back. He said, that group of people will not pass away till all is fulfilled. That's why you're meeting in a building where you've gathered to get as many people in as you can. You watch, you'll have another building. You'll just have harvest of souls, harvest of souls. It'll just be people swept into the kingdom of God right before Jesus comes, because he's just about to come back to the planet. There's thousands of things that are happening right now that demonstrate that this is that season. So we're a very, very, very blessed generation. Just as the pastor had us kind of meditate there for a minute and think about how blessed we are that we're saved. You're so blessed that you're not going to hell. I could have got a better amen than that. Praise the Lord. Aren't you blessed that you're not going to hell? Praise the Lord. I mean, nothing will ever separate you from the Lord. Nothing. Tests and trials come, you're not moved by that. You're a steadfast group of people, bold for Jesus, not moved by anything. Jesus is looking for a group of people right before he comes back that are not moved. They're anchored in the will of God. Every one of the messages you've heard, so there'd be such a strength in you that any kind of hell could come on the earth, come against you, you're not even moved by that. Because you look right at it, right, stare it right in the face and say, no, 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 no. Greater is he that's in me than he's in this world. So all those messages have been given to you so that you'll not be moved. You'll not falter, so that you'll remain in position to do what you're called to do. Because God has something for your life. So I want to land on something this morning that intensifies that. A little bit of my thinking is right now you're writing your resume for what you'll be doing during the millennium. If you're faithful over so much, Luke says you'll rule over so many cities. And I'm from Louisiana. Colleen and I, we live in Tulsa, but I don't want to be using a weed eater in Louisiana during the millennium. I want to be ruling and reigning, praise the Lord. So right now you're doing that, and you're writing your own chapter of the book of Acts. You're finishing your own chapter. Can we follow you around and write down what the Lord is doing in your life? Oh, good night, everybody. Come on now. Let's get right into the Word. Grab your Bibles there, and you just turn wherever you think you ought to turn. We'll see if you're flowing. Praise God. Let's see. Did anybody get Matthew? No, we're not going there. Why don't you turn to Acts? Let's go to the book of Acts. Now, if it started a certain way, it's going to finish a certain way. How did the book of Acts start? It started in power, didn't it? Started in power to finish in power. God's plan always goes full circle. So if it started in power, it'll finish in power. So let's get right into the Word today and see how we can cause these things to happen in our lives so that we can be a blessing. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We're so grateful. We're grateful that we're born again. Thank you for blessing every person that came. Blessings for their lives. May 2007 be the best year of their lives. Intensify the will of God for all of their lives. I ask you this morning for renewed spiritual ambition, that every single one of us would launch out in this day and do exactly what you've called us to do. And Father, it is my prayer, every person in this room, they will finish their course with joy. And Father, as we approach this season before Jesus comes back to the earth, we thank you for increase. We thank you for overflow. We thank you for a bold thought pattern to do the will of God. We thank you for great grace upon this congregation, blessings upon this church. We thank you for it, Lord. We're grateful for all that you've done. And Father, we know as we approach the word, this main thing will happen. Jesus will be magnified. Jesus will be glorified. He will be lifted up. Father, we'll leave the building today with more of a reverence for him. He will be exalted in this room. So, Father, today we glorify the Son. We magnify the Son of God in this room. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the earth to die for us. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, and everybody said amen. Well, grab your Bibles there and turn to Acts chapter 6. I believe we'll start here, and we'll just see what direction we go. You got about 500 things you want to preach on, so we got one shot at you, so just run with me a little bit. Now, remember, the pastor's office exudes decency. The traveling guy exudes urgency. So if I say something, you go, well, I can't believe he said that. Well, I've only got one shot at you, so just hang with me and cut me some slack, so I'll get to something that I'll land on something that you'll like, so just give me a little bit of time. We'll get there. Acts 6, look at verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, this is Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, said, It is not reasonable or right that we leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now notice God's just getting people in position. He wants everybody doing what they're supposed to do. It's nothing weird here. He's just kind of getting everybody in their slot. God wants whatever he's giving you to do, just wants you to do it. Success is doing exactly what God called you to do. You know, don't be caught up, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. No, just do whatever he wants you to do. That's what success is. Because your very next appointment is the reward seat of Christ. We call it the judgment seat of Christ, but that's a mistranslation. I think I'll say that again. We call it the judgment seat of Christ. In the Bible, it's called the bema. It means the reward seat. Your very next appointment on your agenda, you're going to be raptured, you're going to be caught up, and you're going to go to the reward seat of Christ. And you, amen. It'll be awesome. You'll be judged for your works, whether they're wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. I want to make sure there's not a huge bonfire when I get up there. I don't want the Lord to go, everybody back up, Brother Joe. God, woof! No, I don't want a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble. I want gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. So here, God's just getting people in position, so whatever he's called them to do, they do it. He's not even looking for your perfection. He's just looking for a thought pattern to go for it. If people were bold like that for the world, we can be bold like that for Jesus. So here, he noticed what he says here in the next verse. This is the greatest miracle in the Bible outside of being saved. Watch this in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. That's a miracle. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's the greatest miracle it is. That, you know what, God can start getting people in position and they're like, okay, whatever you want me to do. That we would literally lay aside our agenda is a miracle. Well, that went over real good. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. Start the car. I'll be right there. I'll go preach in the parking lot. Come on now. No, isn't that something that we could, sometimes the will of God for our lives, we say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do except for that. You know, God's not going to call you to do something you don't like. That's an absolute lie of the enemy. For the enemy to make us think, well, you know what? God's going to got these things for you to do, but you know what's going to be hard. No, he said, my burden is easy. My yoke, he said, take it on me. My yoke is light. Whatever the Lord's going to give you to do, he'll give you grace to do it. He said, the only one that's going to try to stop you from doing that is Satan, not God. The Lord will bless you. He's not withholding anything from you. He just wants to bless you. I'm trying to get to my message. I do have something to preach on here. Hang with me. How many are still glad you came? Amen. How many are glad you're here? You're not in jail. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, go down a little further here. Look at verse 5 there. It said, And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and several other brothers there. Notice why they were chosen, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Although I've never been here, I just met your pastor this morning, talked to him on the phone yesterday. I know what this church is all about. You're full of the Word and you're full of the Spirit. I can feel it. Man, you can feel it. It's a spirit of faith. It's a spirit of victory. When you're full of the Word and full of the Spirit, it gives you a spiritual backbone that is more real than literally the chairs you're sitting in.
That's right.
And that's what when I come into a church, I kind of want to sniff it out. You know, what's the feeling in the church? You know, is it faith or is it unbelief? Yeah. You know, you need to be one or the other. Some people go, well, I don't like your extreme belief, Brother Joe. Well, I don't like your extreme unbelief. Right. You need to be one way or the other. I wasn't there when Lazarus was raised, but I believe it just like I was standing right there when he came shooting out of the tomb. You know, I wasn't there when Moses split the Red Sea, but I believe it just like I was there. Just exactly like I was standing there viewing the whole deal.
Right.
So I'm going to be quick to believe. So you can feel that. So see here, notice what the qualification was for them to be chosen. Full of the Word and full of the Spirit. Something happens to you when you get full of the Word and you get full of the Spirit. There's a transformation in your life. And we know that because we've all come out of word circles. I came out of this when I was a kid. We got kicked out of our denominational church because my mom got filled with the Holy Spirit. We got booted out. They had a special meeting to kick us out. Well, with that, you know, we started going to meetings all over the country. This was 1970, 71, 72, 73. And you go into these meetings and all of a sudden you found out that you have an inheritance. That Jesus didn't just die so that you'd miss hell. You have an inheritance to be blessed while you're here so he can use your body. Because you're a mobile, God likes mobile thrones. You're a mobile home. I mean, you are. That. You're God's going with you everywhere you go. So we've learned all that. So notice what happens here to Stephen. Let's skip down a few verses. Skip down to verse number 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. A great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, it'd be cool just to have miracles. He did great wonders and miracles. The Bible says in Acts 19:11, God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul. Wow. Indicating they had so many ordinary miracles. They had to differentiate. Come on now. Special miracles. Yeah, praise God. Last week, where we were in Greensboro, there were people got healed for it, didn't even come down to get prayed for. One lady sitting in the back, she said, I couldn't even read the monitor. She said, my eyes are healed. The pastor's daughter sitting right there had been in a car wreck. She goes, I didn't even come down. My back is healed, sitting right here. God will do things for you, even come down to get prayed for. He's just good. He's just good. Well, notice what happened to Stephen's life here. He did great wonders and miracles because he's full of the Word and full of the Spirit. Didn't say he's a prophet. Didn't say he's an evangelist. Didn't say he's an apostle. Said he's full of the Word and full of the Spirit. Something happens to us when we're full of the Word and full of the Spirit. We'll do something. And what the Lord's looking for is a demonstration mentality before Jesus comes. You are the billboard of the resurrection. You're a walking billboard that Jesus is alive. Because you know, God wants to demonstrate it in this hour so that it's kind of inarguable or idiot-proof, if I can call it this way. You know, hang with me. I was preaching. Turn over to Acts 8. I was preaching in a church years ago in Topeka, Kansas. And the youth group was talking while I was preaching. I couldn't get them to stop. Now, you want people to hear the word and kind of hang in with you. The youth was talking, and you know, I was crazy when I was in church too. And you know what I mean. I remember when we had this preacher come to my mom's church in like 1974 or 75, and I'd hold up a big Diet Coke, or actually it was a real Coke back then, and popcorn, and I'd point my hand at my watch. You know, I was just ornery, you know. So these kids were talking while I was preaching, and I couldn't get them to stop. So finally, you know, I walked back there to them. I want to confront them to get them to stop talking. And so I finally said, all right, everybody under 21, stand up. They stood up, and they still talked even while they were standing up, because I preached to them. I said, you guys got to be paying more attention than everybody else, because the Bible says you'll be the first ones to respond. Yes. Because you don't really care about what people think about you. You just like, we'll just do this. Outpouring. He said, young people see visions, old people dream dreams. Mm-hmm. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour out of those days of my spirit, and they'll prophesy. They'll speak by inspired utterance. They'll respond to the Spirit. So they're the first group that will respond. I'll say that again. They're the first group. So that's what I was saying to them. And they still kept talking. I'm like, hello? What's up with this? You know, here I'm trying to get them with me. Then I had a word of knowledge, you know, because I couldn't get them with me. I had a word of knowledge. The Lord said somebody had damage in their fingers. Knuckles, actually. This lady came down. She had one finger like this, and these fingers were cut off. I'm saying, Lord, that's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking arthritis or sore fingers, whatever. Because we've kind of treated the Lord like he's different, that he's not the same as he was in the Bible. We've kind of watered him down with our religion and our tradition. Yes. Yeah. So I said, Lord, thank you for new fingers. So slowly, boom, her fingers grew out right there in front of everybody. Well, you didn't have to tell youth group to get quiet.
That's right.
Not one moment after that did I have to say, everybody hang in. Come on, stay with me. This lady gets new fingers. It doesn't matter if you're a fellow American college surgeon. It doesn't matter if you're an orthopedic surgeon. That you can't argue with that. I don't care how long you've been to school. Somebody doesn't have fingers. They get fingers like, hello. Preaching right down here in Terre Haute. I was in Terre Haute, Indiana. Years ago, I had a word of knowledge that somebody had damage in the lenses in their eyes. This little probably 10-year-old girl came down, had big old Coke bottle glasses on. I said, Lord, thank you for healing her. Boom, took her glasses off. She brought 27 kids to the meeting that night because she didn't have to wear her glasses anymore.
That's awesome.
She had big old glasses like that. You can't argue with that. One minute you're not wearing glasses, one minute you're wearing these big old Coke bottle deals, the next minute it's gone. See, the Lord wants to demonstrate what Jesus is like.
That's right.
That's why you've heard and heard and heard and heard the Word. It's not just to go, woo, I'm full of the Word. No, it's so you'll have a demonstration of it. Because when you're full of the Word and full of the Spirit, something will happen. Stephen did great wonders and miracles among the people. You say, well, I don't know if I qualify. I want to land on something that just shows us you not only qualify, you are the ones that have to do it. God, guess what? Benny Hinn's not here today.
That's right.
He's not. Demp the Wonder Camel's not either. Kenneth Hagin's not here. You're here.
That's right.
I mean, think about it. Is Billy Graham going to be at your job next week? No, you are.
That's right.
God's going to use you. He's raised you up. Well, that went over real good. Okay. I think I did a little bit of Elvis on that one. Well, something. Praise the Lord. Because God wants to demonstrate. I'll give you a little bit more before we get to Acts 8. I was preaching in Temecula. We were just there a couple weeks ago. I was in this church. David Ellis has this church in Southern California, and I've preached there many times. One of the times I was preaching there a couple of years ago, we had some golfers that had come, never been to a Holy Spirit kind of church. We had gone to dinner with them the night before, so you could see that we're all normal. We're just having fun, eating. I think we ate at Johnny Rockets, had cheeseburgers. So we come into the service the next day, and I'm preaching along. Had a word of knowledge at the end that somebody had damage in their heel. This man come down, prayed for his heel. He goes, "Wow, it's gone. It's fine." He said, "The Lord loves to confirm his word." Next thing you know, I have another word of knowledge. The Lord said somebody had damage in their calf. This is what I said. I said, it looks like varicose veins, but it's not varicose veins. It's almost like somebody hit you with a two before. And this man yelled out, "Damn." He screamed a cuss word right there in church. Yeah, I mean, just screamed to come like, wow, okay, that's not normally how you receive your healing. It's a curse. That's not the typical way. But he cusses out loud. He goes, "That's me." I mean, he screamed it out loud. He goes, "I got hit by a two before going in for surgery." He pulled his pants up and showed everybody right there in his calf what was wrong with him. And he goes, "That's me." So here he's not necessarily going, "Ooh, Jesus, heal me." I mean, he's cussing. Here, he gets healed, and you really can't argue with that. Those golfers that were there, they didn't care about my preaching. They saw that Jesus is normal. They saw that man got healed. Obviously, it shocked him that he got healed. Where were we in Orlando last week? We were in Orlando a couple weeks ago. There was a woman there that couldn't hardly hear. The Lord told me to put Colleen's hands on her ears, told me to slap her on the ears. God, wham! She goes, "Crap, that hurt." Screamed it real loud. That's what she did, didn't she? And Colleen goes, "That's hilarious." I mean, the lady screamed that word out in church. I mean, loud. And everybody could hear it. I was like, wow, I just turned my head like that. She goes, "Oh, my God." She goes, "Well, I'm healed." And her husband said to me, all these years she hadn't been able to hear anything I'm saying. She's kind of irritated. She goes, "He can hear me fine." is that terrible? I know that's crazy, but you know, it's hard to argue with that. Amen. Now here, the early church started in power. It wasn't in great preaching. That's right. It was in power. Wasn't great preaching. Remember Peter said, "Don't look at us as though our own power or holiness had made the man to walk." Wasn't about their life. That's right. Paul said, "When I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech." He didn't come to wow them with words. He said, "But I did come with something. Yep. I came with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of man." For so many years, we've come to the body of Christ where we're waiting for great articulation. God's not looking for great articulation. He's looking at us to lean on what the early church leaned on. That was the power of God. Amen. So let's watch what happens here. Go to Acts 8. Now look at Philip here. We know Stephen did miracles. Now look at Philip here in Acts 8. This is so good. Look at Acts 8, verse 5. Verse 5 said, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Well, wasn't that nice of the Lord that the people could hear it and see it? The Lord loves people so much, he wants them to get it. So they could hear it, and they could see it. It's kind of hard to argue with that. God, and people go, "Well, just take it by faith." They demonstrated to where you could hear it and see it. That's good. Remember, John the Baptist forgot that Jesus was the Messiah? What did he say? Jesus told him, "Go tell him what you see and what you hear." So a demonstration. How did Philip have a demonstration? Was he a prophet? No. No, he was full of the Word and full of the Spirit. How did Philip demonstrate this? Was he a great preacher? No, full of the Word and full of the Spirit, just like in Acts 6. Full of the Word and full of the Spirit. Something happened in Philip's life. Watch what happened. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. I guess so. Came out of many that were possessed with them. They were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. There was great joy in the city. Wow. So the city was blessed because Philip preached Christ. Wow. Well, how did he get results? Skip over to verse 12. We know he was just like Stephen, full of the Word and full of Spirit. Now hang with me. We're getting closer to my message. How did these guys do this? Did they go to Rhema? Did they go to such and such Bible school? No, full of the Word and full of Spirit. So being full of the Word and being full of the Spirit, something has to happen in our lives. So in verse 12 here, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Well, now we see here how they got results. They preached about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Now this is how the early church got results. It wasn't like, well, if we can tap into the great depth of the flow of the last day's outpouring of the Pentecostal tabernacle. No, they weren't looking for some crazy outpouring, because the outpouring had already happened. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Still with me here? I'll come preach over here. That's all right. Now notice, they weren't looking for some outpouring. They preached about the kingdom and the name. Now it's so funny how nowadays we hear everybody trying to do this and that and this and that and that to get results. They preached about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus to the point there was great joy in the city. Now think about it. You don't hear a lot of preaching on the kingdom of God. Jesus, hang with me now. Jesus said, he said even before he went to the cross, he said, you tell people when you get near them that you've brought the kingdom of God nigh to them. In other words, you just get near me and you get near the power of the kingdom. That's before he went to the cross. He said, you tell them, wow, when you get near them, that the kingdom of God's gotten nigh unto them. Now, what is that kingdom? Jesus said, some of you won't taste death until you see it. He took them up on a high mountain. He showed them what the kingdom was. He began to radiate. It began to come through his skin, began to come through his hair. Hey, John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, said his feet were like unto fine brass, voice of many waters. He began to, that life, that nature that raised him from the dead began to come through his skin. He said, that's what that kingdom is. It knows no weakness. It knows no equal. Come, cancer can't fight it. Nothing can fight it. Yes. You remember Elisha in the old covenant? He'd almost done double of what Elijah had done. He's dead. He's buried. He's a dead man. And all of a sudden, they threw that army guy into his grave. That army guy comes jumping out of there alive. There was enough of that kingdom operating in his bones, enough of that glory operating in his bones. You can call it anointing. You can call it power. You can call it glory. You can call it whatever you want. And Jesus called it a kingdom. The kingdom of God. He said it's on the inside of you. When you get close to people, you tell them you've gotten close to the kingdom of God. My friend, we can get to the point that we're operating so in the kingdom of God, you can tell people, hey, just get close to me. You can get a miracle. I might go over the chair on that one. Come on. Now hang with me. You say, well, what do you mean get close to him? Remember when Paul was stoned and left for dead, so they gathered around him and prayed. Didn't even pray, so they got close to him. Remember Peter walked by people on the way to church, on the way into church, up toward the street, and his shadow went by people and they were healed. I've never seen that. I've never come walking in toward the church. Everybody line up right there, we're going to walk by and everybody's going to be healed. That's bizarre. That's how powerful that kingdom is, that you can have somebody walk by them and they can be healed. Come on, now see, there's so much power in him. There's so much glory in him that you can get near that kind of power and get your healing. Because we keep thinking, well, if I could just get the power of God to fall on me or whatever. You've got so much on the inside of you. You know, people keep calling out for more. You've got more than you'll ever need. You've got so much more, it'll pour out of you to other people. That's the whole thing. Out of your belly would flow, not maybe, would flow rivers of living water. Now, that's what I'm really not trying to preach on today. I'm trying to get somewhere, so hang with me. How many still glad you came? Come on. I won't preach too long. I want you to come back. Remember, I like what John Osteen says. He who preaches short shall be heard again. So I'll endeavor not to preach long. But here, they magnified the kingdom. I haven't heard really a lot of preaching on the kingdom. I just know that the Bible talks about John the Baptist. Jesus said there hadn't been a greater prophet since him, or ever was, or ever will be. Remember that? That John the Baptist came on the scene preaching the kingdom. Remember, he came on the scene to wake up a dead nation. Nobody speaking for God between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years of silence. All of a sudden, one man comes on the scene to awaken a nation. And Jesus goes, he was a burning and a shining light. Wow, woke up a whole nation, a burning and a shining light. But Jesus said, the least in the kingdom of God's got more anointing than John the Baptist. That you could have got born again yesterday and you got more anointing than John had. He woke up a whole nation. And the Bible says, Jesus said, you got more grace than John had. Because you're in the kingdom. You're not just talking about the kingdom. It's on the inside of you. Woo, come on. So you're more of a voice than John was. So if one man can wake up a nation, what do you think we can do right now? Oh, come on. There's enough word in this room. There's enough word on the inside of you. Come on, to light the whole planet. Come on. Amen. Well, this is how the early church got results. They preached about the kingdom and the name. So go back here. Go back to Acts 5. Here we see that Philip preached about the kingdom and the name. So go back to Acts 5 for a minute. Hang with me a little bit. Look at Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 28. This is how they got results. That's what we want to land on, is what caused them to have a demonstration. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 28. Saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Wow. Peter said, man, we've got to obey God rather than you. So here they were told not to preach in the name. Now this is what got results. Don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. I've never been told not to preach in the name. My buddy from Iran that preaches, he has death threat every week. They tried to set him up a few weeks ago. One of these guys tried to say they were going to give him a certain amount of money, get him to come to the bank. They had to set up. These guys there to kill him. because he's preaching about Jesus. They said, we'll give you millions of dollars not to preach about Jesus. Wow. Why? Because that's where the results are. Jesus. They said, don't preach anymore in that name. Why? Because they knew that the name brought the same results as his physical body brought. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. Come on. Now, the early church didn't know about the gifts of the Spirit. If my book table was here, everything on my book table, gifts of the Spirit, power of God. Because you can learn all about the gifts and never have them in operation.
Right.
You can learn a little bit about the name. You can have it all in operation.
Right.
Come on.
That's good.
So here, this is what they magnified. This is what they reverenced. They didn't reverence how long they'd been in the ministry. They didn't reverence what kind of great preachers they were. They lifted up the name of Jesus. Now go back to Acts 4. Hang with me. Go back to Acts 4 for a moment. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, took knowledge of them that had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. In other words, it was such a notable miracle, you can't really argue with it. There he's there begging every day. Next thing he's healed. Watch how this happens. Look at what happens in verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people. Notice what causes it to spread. Miracles. But that it spread no further among the people. Verse 17. Let us straitly threaten them that they should speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Wow. Notice where their reverence was. It wasn't in looking for a great flow, which is good to have a good flow of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't in great articulation. They lifted up the name of Jesus. That's where their reverence was. And see, all over the body of Christ now is like, well, if I could get in this kind of deal or get in that kind of deal, then maybe I can operate in the power of God. They magnified the name of Jesus,
yes,
and that's
yes,
how the power of God
exactly,
was there.
Exactly.
Hang with me. I was preaching in Rome, Italy a few years ago. I'm getting closer to my message. I love your poster over there. It's so cool. All the names of Jesus. Wow. I was preaching in Rome a few years ago, and there was a fire conference. The people had come from Norway and Sweden, all up north. Really, it was kind of weird to come down to this fire conference. I'm preaching along, and I had a word of knowledge that somebody had cancer. Well, about 12 people came down. I was kind of surprised to see that many people come down with cancer, and one particular one was a little girl, probably about 12 years old, had a big old bandage wrapped around her head. And one of the people from the ministry team there came up and said, well, she has cancer. They really haven't told her really what's wrong with her. Well, I don't know the whole story. Well, I stood in front of her, and in English, I've got an Italian interpreter. I said, in Jesus' name, you're healed. I said, you can go back to your seat. Well, the parents looked at me like I was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Just like, that's it? That's all you're going to do? And well, you could feel it. I told the interpreter, tell her, I said, she's healed. Tell the parents, I said, she's healed. The interpreter is speaking Italian. Kind of, and the only Italian I know is, Yo tango fami, andiamo mangiare molto. I'm hungry, let's go eat a lot. So I'm not getting over what I want to get over to them. So the parents just looked at me like I was crazy. In fact, they walked back and would not sit down. They kind of stood like this on the edge of their deal, kind of leaned forward like that, like, you know, you're just going to say something over our kid? Well, I didn't know this at the time. The doctor was giving the girl 2 weeks to live. Cancer's all through her brain. She's got 2 weeks to live. Like their last resort, they came to this meeting. And the preacher, all the preacher says, well, you're healed in Jesus' name. Now, if I'd gone like this, I mean, this is what we want. We wanted Hollywood. If I'd gone, I guarantee if I'd done the chicken and the swan, if I'd gone, you know, woo, you know, if I, you're healed, the parents would have gone, well, he's flowing. Wow. Because see, that we wanted Hollywood. We want it real slick. We want it real woo. We want it weird, slick, and real professional. And I guarantee you, Peter and John didn't go, I tell you in his name. I guarantee you they went like this. His name through faith in his name made this man whole. Normal.
Yes.
Normal. Not goofy, not weird, not spooky.
Yes. Come on.
Well, because I wasn't spooky enough, the parents were like, that's it. We're going to drive all this way. She's supposed to die, and you're just going to say something over my kid? But they weren't realizing what I was saying. My friend, when I stood in front of that little girl, I wasn't thinking about how long I've been in the ministry. I wasn't thinking about what school I went to. I was thinking about a name that had been given unto me, that any time I mention that name, it's not just a name. I've got a kingdom backing that name greater than anything we can ever come up with. Come on now. It's not just the name. It's what's in back of it. Well, I went from Italy back to Tulsa. The Jeff Schroeder's the guy's name. He's from Iowa. He's working there in Italy. He calls, says, man, the little girl goes back to the hospital. The cancer is gone from her brain completely. That's what that name will do. Amen. That wonderful name. his name. I mean, how many like Brother Shambach? You like Brother Shambach? Don't you like, you know, R.W. Shambach's an old evangelist. You should travel with A.A. Allen. Man, sometimes you just get into all the miracles. Allen had miracles where there was a baby in Birmingham, Alabama, had no arms, no legs, no eyes. Birmingham, Alabama, the baby got completely healed. Shambach was the crusade coordinator for that. Tells that whole story. The stretcher folks, the whole section of stretcher people got healed. Busload of blind people came that night. Every single one of them got healed. So he's around that kind of power. So Brother Shambach's preaching in India years later, and he's preaching along, and he was irritated because people weren't coming down to get saved. You know, you don't go all that way and preach, and everybody look at you like you're crazy, you know. So the next night he comes in, he's a little mad. Comes in, and before he even starts to preach, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost begins to move and stuff. And what I'm giving you this morning is a platform for the Holy Spirit to move. I know I didn't really title it that, but that's what it is a platform. So Brother Shambach, he walks in before he preaches. He walks up to this man that's blind. This is pretty radical before you preach. He goes, in the name of Jesus, eyes open. Boom, the guy's eyes open. There was a man that was in a wheelchair right there. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up. Boom, the man comes out of the wheelchair. This is before he preaches. It gets kind of people's attention kind of quick. They're like, whoa, what's up with this? He goes over to this man that's on a cot. He says, in the name of Buddha, rise up and walk. Nothing happened. In the name of Allah, rise up and walk. Nothing happened. He goes, in the name of Reverend Moon, rise up and walk. Nothing. He said, I want to give everybody equal time. He said, he went down the whole list. He said, all of a sudden, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Boom. That man came up off that cot, instantly healed. They started screaming. The crowd started screaming, he's alive. He's alive. He asked his interpreter, well, they're saying they're screaming, he's alive. See, Jesus was raised from the dead. That's right. Come on now. This is where the early church's reverence was. You say, well, brother, I know all about the name of Jesus. Well, good. Here's a cookie. We'll see how much we know about that name. You know what I'm saying? Because you're around people all the time. Well, I know all about the name. How many miracles did you have last week? His name means miracle.
Yeah.
Yes. He shall be called. You say Jesus. Listen real carefully. I want you to get this. When you say Jesus, you're saying miracle. His name shall be called Wonderful. Yes. Means miracle. Look in the Hebrew. Just saying Jesus, you're saying divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a suspension of the accustomed order. The accustomed order would be when you fall off a motorcycle and hurt your shoulder, the accustomed order would be it takes a while to get better. And you put the name of Jesus on it, and it's a suspension of the accustomed order.
Yes.
All of a sudden, your shoulder's made whole just like that. I was preaching in Birmingham. I saw a woman fly fishing in Birmingham, Alabama, catch the hook in her eye. I had this damage on the white part of her eye. A suspension of the accustomed order would be, I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. Watch the woman rub her eye and go, holy cow, my eye's healed.
Yes.
That's a suspension of the accustomed order.
Yes.
I prayed for a woman up in Madison, Wisconsin. She's on a feeding tube. She's right there on the very back row at the point of death. I said, you know, she's been like 3 or 4 meetings. I said, that's about enough meetings. You ought to come down and get healed right now. I said, I command you to be healed. She gained 17 pounds that first week. This is Scotty Bierman's church. 17 pounds that first week. The name of Jesus brings a suspension of the accustomed order. You say, well, you don't know what's going on in my family. My whole family's had a history of heart disease. Not anymore. The name of Jesus will give you a suspension of the accustomed order. Now, this is where their reverence was.
Right.
We try to reverence, well, did I pray enough? Am I a good enough person? Did I do everything just right? It ain't about you.
That's right.
Come on now, it's all about him.
Yeah.
Now, let's go over a little further. Go over to Hebrews. Because we so try to make it on our merits or our own labor. Come on now. We're not sharp enough on our own to get somebody cancer out of their brain. Am I in the right room? Come on now. Skip over to Hebrews for a minute. Hebrews chapter 1. Hang with me just a little bit. We'll close here in a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 1. Boy, I love Hebrews 1. It's so good. It shows about Jesus. Just lifts him up. Magnifies him. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 1. It says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. This is Hebrews 1, verse 2 now. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. Wow. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Notice he couldn't say that to the angels because that didn't happen to them. It happened to Jesus. And again I'll be to him a father, and he'll be to me a son. Notice this, he says again, I'll be to him a father. Notice in verse 6, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world. Now, this is the second time. You can't come in again if you hadn't come in before. So this is when he was raised from the dead. If you read all the verses here, the Bible talks about how he raised him. He said he anointed him with the oil of gladness. Joy brought him out of the pit of hell. But if you notice this in verse 6, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten in the world. So this is the second time. When was the first time? Remember the first time the angel Gabriel appears to Mary? You'll have a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He'll rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. Mary's like, what? I'm going to have a son without a mate and name him Jesus. It was such a common name that it just didn't sound royal enough. Mary's like, are you kidding me? That's what basically what she said. In our term, and the angel said, man, with God, all things are possible.
That's right.
Because that name was so common. It'd be like saying, you'll have a son, you'll call his name Billy Bob, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. I mean, Mary's like, that doesn't sound real royal. You'll have a son, you'll call his name Ernie, and of his kingdom there'll be no... You know what I'm saying? It didn't have that ring of what we want. We want it to be really cool. That's why God gave him this just basic, common, ordinary name when he's born the first time. My friend, the second time he's born, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he received a name. He inherited a name, the Bible says. A name that was reserved for him. That has a whole different meaning. It has a stamp on it. You say Jesus. Oh, come on. You're saying you can burp the name of Jesus and live forever. Come on. It's not about your articulation. It's just about what's behind it. Because we keep thinking it's all about all this stuff and all about us. My friend, you think about it. You read the chapter there. He said, let all the angels of God worship him. My friend, it means even Lucifer. It means every created being got on their knees and honored the Son of God in the pit of hell. He spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Come on. That's why in the book of Acts, everywhere they went, magnifying that name, you had even demons. They yelled out, what are you doing? Paul I know and Jesus I know. Who are you? They knew Paul.
Yes.
They knew Jesus because yes. They knew what was in back of that name. My friend, the last day church, it will not be about religion. It will not be about tradition. It will be about believers that will rise up and go, I've got the word in me. I've got the spirit in me. And they'll go out and demonstrate that Jesus was raised from the dead. And people will go, I don't even understand that, but I can't argue with it. My friend, we'll see it. We'll see people that are burned beyond recognition get new skin. You'll see children working miracles, and it won't be about their great study and prayer life. They'll go, you know, all I've got is I know I've been authorized.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because the early church, that's what they had. That's what they reverenced. They didn't reverence how cool they were. They reverenced that they'd been given a name. See, there's something about basic authority that produces boldness. How many of you, when you got your driver's license, you're thrilled you're finally legal? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's something about authority. I got a ticket on the way here. We were driving so fast trying to get here. There was a guy supposed to fly us and was not able to fly us, and we normally fly in a commercial, and we weren't going to fly commercial. So there's something about authority that produces boldness when you've been authorized. We're going to Germany Tuesday, and you know, we'll be over there preaching in the Autobahn. There's no speed limit. I mean, you know, you just go. It's just awesome. You can be going 120 miles an hour, and people are passing you. It's just godly. It's proper. It's right. I mean, it's just, it's how it's supposed to be. One time we were driving from Bonn, Germany, over to Brussels, Belgium, in this car. We're going 150 miles an hour.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking, all you can hear is wind noise. You're just rocking. And there's cars passing us at 150. And I'm thinking, man, Jesus likes this Autobahn. This is the deal. But what's so weird is, you know, they just know they've been authorized. On the Autobahn, there's no speed limit. There's no limit. There's no speed limit, so you're authorized to go as fast as you want to go. So you see, when you get on the Autobahn, people don't go, well, let's just go 70 or 80 miles an hour. No, they max it out. Once you're authorized, you just do it. There's no, well, let's just... Man, in fact, it's almost like comical when you see something. You can spot an American real quick. They're holding on going, oh, Jesus. And people are just woof, 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 get blowing by them because they're not used to being, you know, that kind of no-limit thought pattern. We're just so used to limits. Well, you can only go 70. You can only go 55. You know, just all this limit mentality. It'd be like being on the Autobahn and you're in a Ferrari. I mean, let's say you got a Ferrari to go 180 miles an hour and you're on the Autobahn. Woo, I got brand new Ferrari and I'm in first gear. It'd be like going 38 in a Ferrari. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Somebody walks up and goes, here's a car for you to drive as fast as you want to go. And you go, well, praise the Lord. The Lord so blessed me, but I'm not taking it out of first gear.
That's it.
That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Once you've been authorized to go as fast as you want to go, how bad would that be to do that? Yet we, the church, have been authorized to look and act just like Jesus. No limit. No limit. But we've put these limits on us. Well, I don't know if I'm good enough. All these stupid limits when God's authorized us to be just like him. In fact, in John, he said, if you say that he abides in you, you'll walk even as he walked. No limit. Authorization to look just exactly like the Son of God. He goes, well, who do you think you are? I'm a chip off the old block. I can't help it if my dad happens to be God. People go, well, I can't believe how bold you are. I can't believe how weak you could be spiritually. Right, like, you don't know who your dad is? See, it's not about what you did, it's what you're born into. And that kind of authorization produces boldness. I don't see people on the Autobahn going, oh my God, how are we going to get up to 100 miles an hour? They're like, hello, just rock. So they don't think limit. See, we in the church, could we really walk like Jesus walked? Could we really command in the name of Jesus? Hello, the early church, that's all they had. Paul hadn't written 1 Corinthians 12. I don't see Peter going, guess what? Paul's going to write a great letter. It's going to say concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant or misinformed. In other words, he's going to go verse number 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge by the same Spirit. They didn't have a clue what that was. Paul hadn't written that letter yet. So they couldn't go, guess what? There's going to be so many rivers flowing through you, it's going to be powerful. No, they just said his name through faith in his name. So go back to Mark for just a minute. Man, I can't believe we'll get into this for a second. Hang with me. So glad you came. Come on now.
Amen.
Go to Mark 16. You know the chapter real well. So I just want you to see this for just a minute. Mark 16. You know the verses very well. This is not anything new, so I just hang with me. But look at Mark 16 for just a moment. Mark 16, verse 12. After he appeared in another form unto the two of them as they walked. Remember on the road to Emmaus, he appeared and they didn't know who he was. And then he had dinner with them, you know, and he broke bread. And then he disappeared. You know, remember he opened the scriptures to them. Remember that? And after he left, they said, did not our hearts burn within us the words that he spoke to us? His words are spirit and life. Well, it's pretty cool. Jesus appears to two of those guys. And they go back and tell it to their buddies. And their buddies are like, man, you guys are nuts. You know, so here Jesus has physically appeared to two of their friends. Now watch how they respond to it. Verse 13. They went and told it to the residue. And they all rejoiced happily that Jesus was raised from the dead. No, none of them believed him. You got two eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Two of your best friends. We saw him. We broke bread with him. They're like, we don't believe it. Just unbelief. Well, notice how the Lord counteracts that. I would have done a little different. He's a lot nicer than I am. Well, notice what he says in verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he's risen. Like, hello, I appeared to two of your buddies. What do you need? Well, he just upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now watch what he does to help them. Don't you love it when the Lord wants to bless us and help us? Verse 15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Yes. He said, you go preach in my name, and there'll be so much corresponding actions with that, you won't have to tell anybody I was raised from the dead. He said, oh, all your buddies here don't believe I was raised? He said, you go preach in my name. There'll be such a blanket demonstration of dominion. He goes, oh, yeah, you don't believe I was alive? Check this out. You go preach in my name, you can drink something deadly, not a problem. Snake bites you, not a problem. Somebody's got sickness, not a problem. Just dominion. So much blanket dominion in that name, you won't have to tell anybody I'm alive. Now that's why we've heard and heard and heard and heard and heard. So it gets in us that it's not just, people say, well, I know all the word of God, but do you know the God of the word? My friend, the name of Jesus can go so get so magnified in us that we go out and demonstrate that. Oh, come on. I was preaching in California. I was on my way to Europe. Colleen was in the Philippines at this time. I was on my way to Philippines, Manila, and Bangkok. And I was in this church in Vista, California. I had a word of knowledge that somebody had basically like drank poison, and it messed up a valve inside their stomach. And I called it out. And, you know, I have weird words of knowledge. You know, I can tell you thousands of words of knowledge where, holy cow, it's just bizarre. I mean, Bartlesville saw a woman get poked in the eye with a fork. called it out. This elderly woman came down. Her sister rammed a fork in her eye. God just wants to heal damage so bad, he'll fix everything. It's just amazing.
That's awesome.
I can tell you 500 stories where the Lord would go get the person and they wouldn't even come down. Just amazing. Well, I'm in this church in Vista. I have word of knowledge that somebody's drank like poison. Nobody come down. And so I've had so many like that. I'm just used to it. I go, I ain't leaving. I sat down. I say, I ain't leaving until you come. I sat down on the platform. Finally, the youth pastor come walking down. He goes, I tried to commit suicide. I drank strychnine. He said, I throw up every night. He was embarrassed to tell. I didn't want to embarrass him, but I just wanted to bless him. He said, you know, I throw up every night. That valve inside my stomach. He said, I have a towel right there. I said, every night. Well, while I'm standing in front of him, I'm not thinking, am I sharp enough to get this valve fixed? But I know I've been given a name.
Yes. Yes.
That, come on, but Hebrews says that when he was raised from the dead, he inherited this name that, my friend, is not just his name. There's a kingdom in back of it.
Yes.
So you pray over your food. Father, bless these burritos, bless this taco. But my friend, you say in the name of Jesus, there's a beacon that goes out over that. It so charges your burrito. It so charges your taco. It so charges your Diet Coke to where it goes, wow, that Diet Coke feels like it's making me alive. It's because of the blanket dominion of that name. My friend, I told that young man, he's standing in front of me. I wasn't thinking about how long I've been in the ministry. I wasn't thinking about what kind of flow I might have. I was thinking about a name of Jesus that had been given unto me, that I've been authorized, that when I mention that name, it's just as though he is there. Gets people excited. You go, hey, Jesus is going to be in church today. Hello. You mention his name, it's just like he's there. I said, I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. We were there several days. He came up the next night. He said, last night's the first night I didn't throw up when I went to sleep. Not the first night since I tried to commit suicide. That name will recreate the valve on the inside of your stomach.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So here we have this in the church. He said, well, Brother Joe, you sound like you're trying to get me to do something. We keep waiting for revival. You create your own revival.
Yes.
I'll say that again. We keep waiting for God to do something. He's already done it 2,000 years ago. Well, we're going to turn the corner. Well, how many corners are you going to turn until you get a revival? Now, I'm hungry for him. I'm not hungry for a visitation. I'm hungry for a habitation. Visitation's good. But you know what? You can get it to where he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Hang with me. See how that went over so good. You know, years ago, I'm a golf nut because I'm a football nut first, but then as you get older, you keep getting beat up playing football, so I turned into a golf nut after that, you know. So years ago, I was preaching up in Connecticut, and a guy that works for the USGA, he said, hey, man, you want to go to the U.S. Open one year? I said, sure. So he sent me some tickets to go to this golf tournament, the U.S. Open. This was 1993. It was in Baltusrol, New Jersey at the time. I said, man, I'd love to go, but I'm going to be preaching, so I really won't have an opportunity because my schedule was booked, and so come to find out, I was preaching not far from where the U.S. Open was. I was actually in Pittsburgh, and it was in Springfield, New Jersey. I called the guy. I said, man, I looked on my deal. I'm going to be not far from there. I said, send me the tickets. So it was God. So a buddy of mine that was kind of a golf freak from Colorado, he came and met me in Pittsburgh, and we drove all night. I preached that Wednesday night, drove all night Thursday to go to the U.S. Open, got there, and just as cool as can be, man, the guys are smoking the ball. You know, just boom. I'm like, this is godly, you know. And it's just proper to get to see how it's supposed to be done, you know. And so we're walking around and enjoying the golf tournament on Thursday and Friday, and this is so cool and everything. And come Saturday, I ran into the guy, you know, because there's thousands of people there. So I run into him. I said, man, thank you for the tickets. That's so nice of you. This is the coolest thing ever. I've never been to a golf tournament. This is the U.S. Open. This is awesome. Thank you. I exalt you. You know, that kind of stuff. So I was just blessed. I mean, just genuinely just freaked out that I got to go. And he said, hey, have you gone over and gone to the clubhouse? I said, well, no. No way. He goes, well, go over to the clubhouse and then go in there where the players are. Meet the players. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I mean, you're crazy. Because, I mean, it's very roped off, you know, where the players are. It's like, you know, the holiest of holies. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's just weird how it is. So I said, no way. How do I do this? Well, look at your badge. He said, there's a badge that says grounds. There's a badge that says clubhouse. And there's a badge that says all. Has a little hologram thing on it. I looked down mine and said all. He said, man, you can not only go in the clubhouse, you can go in there where the players are. I said, get out of here. Just like you're on the tour. So we went up, man, we've been there all that time, you know, not enjoying any of the benefits that we had. So we finally go over there where the clubhouse is, got up there near the clubhouse, and we don't look like we qualify. In fact, the guy looked at us like, man, you can't come in here. Got a little closer, showed him my badge. He's like, wow. We walked in the clubhouse. We're walking around that clubhouse there in Baltusrol. Cool as that is, and as fun as that was, we're like, man, this is so cool. Now let's just go ahead and take another step. Let's go where the players are. And I mean, I remember when we got over to that edge, we just basically motioned like that to go toward that door. There were state troopers there, and one of them shook his head like, uh-uh, you can't go in here. Like, this is where the players are. I'll never forget when I walked up to little Chloe, saw that badge. He's like, how in the world did you get that badge? I mean, next thing you know, he opened that door. He opened it for us. We walked right in. There's lobster tail, Diet Cokes, all the players. I walked up, hey, good to see you. Great round. God bless you. Oh, I just kind of walked around like, oh, Lord, I'm in this, where all these golfers are. You know, hello. Now, see, it's so amazing that a badge will get you in there, and you're carrying that badge the whole time. Don't even realize it. Now, see, when you say the name of Jesus, the highest place in the universe opens up to you. When you say in the name, the throne, everybody goes, well, if I could just meet with the president, if we just meet with so-and-so. You say the name of Jesus, the throne doors open. Oh, come on now. That's the access deal. You say in the name of Jesus, the Father perks up. That kingdom perks up because that's the authority of that kingdom. It's the buzzword for life. You say in the name, boom. Just there's a doorway open to you. You say, well, what are you talking about? There's so many things you can get into and you can dwell on that produce a platform for miracles. It produces a foundation in your life. Strong faith is one thing. The name of Jesus is one thing. Boldness is one thing. You can get into all these things. So all of a sudden, you dwell on that and you don't have to ask for the power of God to flow through you. It just starts flowing through you automatically. You know, hang with me. I was preaching in Kiev. I'm closing right now. I was preaching in Kiev, Ukraine. And I was preaching along, and it was in this huge amphitheater type deal. And I remember having a word. I prophesied over the interpreter, and she just started crying. So I kind of lost the interpreter. So I said, well, let's lay hands on the sick, you know. So we lined up all these people. They were lined up all around and started going down the line. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, name of Jesus, name of Jesus. Just simply trying to get people set free. All of a sudden, as I got over toward the end of the one deal there, they started screaming at me, these big Russian ushers, you know, don't know a lot of English, but they know, Brother Joe, screaming. I come over there, and there's a lady airborne. I've never seen this before in my life. I joke about it. You know, I've always joked about it all my life. There was a woman there possessed of the devil, and she was coming out of her chair, airborne. I never seen anything like that, but I thought, this is so cool. You're finally seeing things you've heard of. There's these ushers holding this woman down, and they're big old, huge, like 6'4", 6'5" guys holding this woman like this, and the look on their face is like, this woman's coming out of her chair. I'm like, I know. She's airborne. She's like, I'm standing there. And I was thinking, how cool is this lady possessed the devil? I said, look at me. She wouldn't look at me first. You know, her eyes were going all over like this. She had a whole crew with her. You know what I'm saying? She's not alone. So I mean, I'm serious. One eye's going this way. One eye's going that way. They're like, you know, they wasn't the same. It was like that. So I said, look at me. I said, look at me in Jesus' name. She looked right at me. See, eyes are the mirror of your soul. I didn't go, in the name. Yeah, I am going to get a cape. Because it's amazing about people just think it's more powerful if you got a cape. You know what I'm saying? She's too calm, you know. I looked at her, I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. I didn't even scream, didn't yell. Because it's not about the delivery, it's about what's behind it. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out. Boom, she settled back down like those big old Russian ushers. Like, what in the world? My friend, I've got a kingdom on the inside of me. I've got a name that's been given unto me. I've got authority that's been given unto me. You can see, you say, oh, I got cancer in my tailbone. You can say in the name of Jesus, that cancer will dry up just like that. Hallelujah. I was preaching in Thunder Bay, Ontario. We got ready to go to this meeting. I'm closing right now. I said I was closing. I'm almost there. Lord help me. Almost done. We'll go home. I was preaching in Thunder Bay, Ontario. I got off the airplane, and the news media met us when we got there. I mean, when we walked off the plane, they had the cameras like this. And we want to interview. They had posters all over town, Jesus is your healer. We get off the plane. The news media is there with the cameras and everything. They said, we want to interview. I said, man, don't interview me. I said, interview my buddy. So for my buddy, it's Ross Roberts. He's pastored in Charleston, Illinois, right down here in Mattoon. He goes like this and starts doing Elvis. And I was like, oh, my God. He did it just like that. And he points his finger at the camera. He goes, I dare you to come to the meeting. God will heal you. He said, bring the sick, bring the lame. I was like, oh, Lord, he's daring people to come get a miracle. I was like, oh, Lord. I just kind of walked off like, oh, Jim, I was praying in tongues. I'm speaking in tongues like, my buddy's daring the guy on camera and doing Elvis. You know? So it's kind of an interesting combo, you know. But now watch. See, bold means to dare to do. Now, if using your authority in the name of Jesus, you're setting the tone. He set the tone for the meeting. We got there Sunday morning. I remember I preached. It was horrible. They had a lady walk up to me and say, you're not going to try to do this for a living, are you? Amen. So I preached that morning. It was horrible. Come back Sunday night, and Ross was going to come in. The music they were playing, man, it had nothing to do with Jesus. It was just, you know, isn't it great to sing songs about Jesus? Amen. Well, they just happened to not sing songs about Jesus. So my buddy's like, I can't even go in there. Well, I'm wondering where he is. All of a sudden, I have visions. See, it's okay for me to have a vision. I'm a young man living in an outpouring. Can't help it. All of a sudden, I'm a word guy. But I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, these two huge angels come and stand right there at the front of the deal, about 8 or 9 feet tall, about the height of that ceiling. Just looked right down at me like that. I'm like, what in the world? Looked up, and there's all these little kids over in the corner, and there were angels with the kids where they were coloring. I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? I just ducked my head. I thought, I won't bother them as long as they don't bother me. I mean, I don't know how this works. I went to Bible school, but they didn't tell you this is what you do when two angels come stand there. So I just ducked my head like, ooh, praise the Lord. I look back up, and they're still standing there. I duck my head again. Hey, papa, hallelujah, see love. I'm praying in tongues. And he's kind of looking around like, am I seeing things? Look up, and these two big old angels standing right there, glowing in the glory of God. Man, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Ross comes in and says, hey, you got anything? Nope, don't have anything, It's all over you. Preach. Go for it. Woo! You know, I'm like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just kind of freaking out. Seriously. So he preaches for a little bit, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says to me on the inside, says, those angels have come to deliver a woman a new heart. I thought, wow, no problem. Praise the Lord. God wants to heal people. So at the end of the meeting, Ross didn't call it out. So he said, hey, you got something? I said, well, I guess I do. I said, there's somebody here. You got heart trouble. This lady got up. She looked like she's going to die before you could pray for her. You know what folks look like when they're about to go home. This lady looked like she's going to go home right there. I said, ma'am, Jesus is your healer. I said, but you know what? I had these two angels come and stand right here and stare at me the whole service. I said, you know what? Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law. I said, I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. I don't care what's wrong with your heart. You can't come up with something greater than that name. Don't you magnify something going on in your heart bigger than that name. She fell out of the power, got up, just vibrant, went back to her seat, and Ross gives the altar call. That woman and her family came down and gave their life to Jesus. She got healed and saved. All right, that's on Sunday night. Monday, she goes to the cardiologist. She goes walking in there, and she goes, check it out. He goes, what happened to you? I mean, she's just real vibrant. You could tell when she's walking down that she looked like she couldn't even get her breath. She's with the cardiologist. Woo! He goes, what happened to you? She goes, I went to this church service, and I got healed. He goes, you're crazy. She said, well, check me out. He did an EKG. He goes, whoa. He goes, you know what? Your heart muscle's perfect. He called the newspaper. The cardiologist, Thunder Bay, Ontario, called the newspaper. The newspaper came to the church, did an article. We came to church Friday. You could not get in the foyer. There were people with candles, people with incense. One lady brought me a purple amethyst because the paper came out. The headline, angels bring woman a new heart. Christ redeemed her from the curse of the law. The cardiologist goes, I've got the EKG before and I've got the EKG after. Her heart muscle's perfect. But my friend, it's one thing to get a new heart muscle. The best thing was she got saved.
Right.
But you know what happened? That one miracle, Ross preached that night, and all these people came down and gave their life to the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Now see, that's why you've been hearing the word, because we're going to take this revival outside the doors.
Yes.
Have miracles, demonstrations,
yes.
So that you can get their attention.
That's right.
You know, Satan can do miracles too.
That's right.
But you've got something a whole lot bigger than what Satan can do.
Amen.
So that's why we've heard. He wants to use you.
Amen.
So guess what? This morning you're full of the Word, full of the Spirit. And the early church had those two things, and they knew they'd been authorized. Their reverence was in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
He said, well, brother, I don't know if we can be bold about that. We better be bold about it.
Yes.
It's been given to us.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's bow our heads before we go. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful for your equipment that you've given the church. You died for us. We might as well be bold about what you gave us.
Yes.
Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you for a thought pattern before you come of harvesting souls. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming today. I know I preached a long time. You know, I had a couple of things come to me here before we dismiss. It's okay, we'll pray for you. I'll give you a couple invitations, and then we'll pray for a couple people, then we'll go. I know it's 11:15. I won't keep you but a second. You say, well, how come you say what time it is? So you'll know I know exactly what time it is. Because I have been in the meeting where the preacher didn't know what time it was, and Jesus had left the building. Amen. Oh, yeah. And the preachers kept going. You're like, hello, Jesus waved 30 minutes ago. So I want you to know, I know exactly what time it is. But let me give you two invitations real quick. Is there anybody here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? You've heard about this church. You've heard about, we're happy here. We're saved. So you've heard about that, but you've never given your life to the Lord. Real quick before we dismiss, you may have come. You've never done that. Let's do that today. Have a good birthday today. I want to pray for you. I want you to lift your hand real high. And we'll dismiss here in just a second. I know it's 11:45. It won't just kill us to wait a couple more minutes for the end of the service. If you're here and you've never done that, I want you to raise your hand real high. Just say, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Wow, let's get born again today. Won't take me a minute. I won't embarrass you. I'll pray with you. Please, I won't make you do anything weird. I'll just pray with you. So if you're here and you've never done that, just slip your hand up and say, you know, I have never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I want to pray with you. Won't take me a moment. Amen, amen, amen. Don't want to miss anybody. Praise God. Wow, looks like everybody's saved. How cool. We're all going to heaven. Amen. All right, let me give you another invitation. Say, I'm born again, but I've not been filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, I'm here, I'm saved, but I've not had that Pentecostal experience. Amen, we can get that. Good for you, buddy. Amen. Who else wants to join that, man? You want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Good for you, buddy. Awesome. Amen. Good for you. Good for you. Amen. Good for you. 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 Yay. Who else wants to get filled? Good for you, buddy. Amen. Good for you, sis. Yay. Good for you, sis. Awesome. Yay. Good for you, sir. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. I like Jesus said, you'll be endued with power, not weirdness. Power. I don't know about you. I'll take all the power I can get.
That's right.
Amen. Anybody else, if you haven't raised your hand, you want to get filled this morning, we'll pray for you. Amen. Good for you, buddy. Amen. Good for you, too. Awesome. Good for you. God bless you. Amen. Good for you, buddy. Awesome. Amen. Good for you, sis. God bless you, too. Awesome. Awesome. That's great. We can all get filled with the Holy Ghost today. How cool is that? Oh, some more? Good, good. Amen. Good, good. Sorry, I didn't say that. Awesome. 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 Good. Get filled with the Holy Spirit today. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Nothing like getting baptized in the Spirit. I got it when I was 8. My daughter got it when she was 3. And it's not complicated. We'll just ask him to fill us, and he'll instantly fill us with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Praise God. I love it that we get a heavenly language where we start speaking from here instead of right here. Maybe the first time you kind of bypass the noodle. Praise God. We want it to come from right here. Praise God. Amen, amen. All right, we'll pray for you here in just a minute. We'll all be filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, how do you normally do it? Do you have them come down here, or do you go to a place of prayer? All right, well, if you raised your hand to get filled, come on down real quick. Won't take but a second. It's 11:45. We'll be dismissed in just a second. If you raised your hand to get filled, come on down. Won't take but a second. That's all right. Come on down. Praise God. Good to see you, man. You're the first one to raise your hand. Good for you. Yeah, come on down. Good to see you, sir. Awesome. Hey, God bless you. Cool, cool. Bless you, sweetie. Amen. So glad you came to get filled. Awesome, awesome. Congratulations. March of 2007. I don't even know what month it is. Amen. Bless you, buddy. How cool to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Yay. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Bless you. And we'll do this way. Can't shake all your hands. God bless you. Good for you. Great. Amen. Bless you too. Good for you, buddy. God bless you. What we'll do, this is the easiest way to do it, and I'm going to ask the Lord to fill you, and it's so easy. We'll just all get instantly filled. You don't have to wait for a feeling. The second I ask him to fill you, he'll instantly fill you. The Bible says they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit's not going to speak for you. You'll speak. But what I'm going to do when I ask him to fill you, you'll just start feeling this bubbling up on the inside of you. Don't try to critique it. Don't try to judge it. Just go say it. Remote. Just let her fly. And the congregation is going to be speaking in tongues so loud, they're going to be praying. You won't even know what you sound like. So you just say it. Radoma. You just let her fly. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And don't critique how it sounds. It's a language. I mean, I speak English. I don't speak very good English. So I don't, don't critique it. Just let her fly. So when I ask the Lord to fill you, you'll be instantly filled with the Holy Ghost. And what's so cool, you can pray in tongues out in your car. You can't be in church 24 hours a day, but you can have a battery charger by praying in tongues that charges you all the time. I mean, I was walking out to start our car this morning to say, Bradon, Bradon. I was praying in tongues to build myself up. So, congregation, I want you to stand on your feet before we dismiss. And when I pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you start praying in tongues louder than they are, so they don't even have to hear what they sound like, all right? So, Father, I thank you for this wild crew that came down on Sunday morning. I thank you for blessings upon their lives. They'll never be the same after today. I ask you right now to fill every single one of them with the Holy Ghost. We thank you for filling them right now. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sheik Rabon, Melaze, Ledra, Brom, Brezala, 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 Mesto, Mesto, May. You don't have to speak. He won't speak for you, so just yield to it. Soprebon, 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 Soprebon. Felabista prafereda campasta l'enemia tolanda se levene. There you go. Rosso frasa de mine. Meso, Meso, Meso. Great grace upon this congregation. Lord, we thank you for your grace upon this congregation, your hand upon this congregation, your perfect will being wrought in 2007 for this congregation. Blessings upon this church, Lord, in 2007. Divine favor, supernatural favor when this community, Lord. We thank you for this community being blessed because of this church. We thank you for a lighthouse and a beacon for this whole region for what Jesus is like. Thank you for your blessings upon this congregation, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for it, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Now, right then, it was about 11:43 or 4. We asked him to fill you. You instantly got filled. Now, when you get out to your car and you get out driving home, start going to say, just keep doing it. Let try. Don't. I guarantee you, the devil's not going to go, you got so gloriously filled. No, you just got filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Keep doing it and doing it. They got it in Acts 2, got it in Acts 11, Acts 19. It's the first thing they asked them, have you gotten filled since you believe? So today, hallelujah, there'll be a magnifying glass on the scriptures. Jesus will pop out of every page. Go back and look at the word. Jesus will just be exalted. Amen. Well, God bless you. I didn't get to shake your hands over here. Thank you for coming today. Glad you got filled with the Holy Ghost, got baptized right before 12 o'clock. And just keep doing it. Just keep speaking in tongues. Bless you, buddy. Amen. Glad you got filled. Amen. Bless you. Have a great day, all right? We'll see you again, okay? You can go back to your seats. Have a great day. Thank you. We'll do it. Bless you, brother. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Give them a hand as they go back. How cool is that? You got filled with the Holy Ghost. Congratulations. How cool is that? Amen. Congratulations. That's so cool. Have a great day. Isn't that cool? You got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Bless you.